Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Wisdom of Ada Marie, the Golden Oracle. I'm Mary Blake, your host. Long before anyone ever heard of The Secret, Ada Marie, the Golden Oracle, was teaching her clients how to work with affirmations. Well trained by her seer grandmother and great-grandmother, she's worked with them all her life. She discusses the power available to us and the importance of choosing it well, and she promises to give us some simple secrets of working with affirmations. So welcome to the show, Ada Marie.
Well, thank you, Mary. It's nice to be here today. And yes, I didn't even know they were affirmations. You know, that word came after I grew up.
Well, what did you call them when you were what did you call them?
What did we call them? Well, my grandma called it the knowing.
She called it the knowing.
She said, when you have the knowing and you hold the knowing appears. And then later I learned that there's another name. There's usually several names for everything, but then when I got to California, they were called affirmations. Anyway, I need to tell you that in December, in the cold, Mary, we had very little wood. And I sat in my chair, and I did the affirmation. I said, okay, God, now it is important that we get wood for the fireplace just to keep this house warm. I am sending out a call for 5 cords of wood. Maybe I want 10. Anyway, I did it, and I did it every day for 7 days. And
yes.
After I talked to you last week, on last Friday, a man came over and he said, I understand that you want some wood, and we have some, and you can have it. Now, this wasn't very long, from December to a week ago Friday. We went over there. It was cut. It was dry. It was down in the bottom of the hill. We had to get it up the hill. We spent all week bringing in 5 cords of wood. We just finished
5 cords of
about
wood.
9 o'clock. We put the last of it in the pile at 9 o'clock this morning. Now, I'm going to tell you, that was a blessing, a miracle and a blessing, and I've been thanking God for a week, and this morning when we put those last sticks up on the pile, I said, my heart is just overwhelmed, God, with the blessings you've given us. Do you realize how much money that is? At $300 a cord? And all we had to do was go pick it up and haul it home and stack it.
Times five. Oh, my word.
Now,
oh, that is wonderful.
Now, kids, if you have an affirmation and you're very sincere and you ask and you put it out there and hold on to the knowing. Now, hold on to the affirmation. Keep it there, and don't let anything take your mind off of it, and don't tell anybody you're doing it. Just do it, and that will work. But this is something that I had forgotten. In the class I taught in California, I taught a class about this, and one lady, I never will forget it, she put an affirmation out that she was going to go to the casino, because California has quite a few casinos, and win, you know, money. Well, she did. So finally, she decided she was doing pretty good. She would win the lottery. By golly, about 5 months later, she won the lottery. She actually won, I think, $400 million or something. She won out $350 million. Okay. Received a sending. After she won it, she received a sending to play one full year and she had to play one full year, and she had to play $25, I think it was. Before the year was out, she won again.
Oh, my goodness.
So she won twice. And then, of course, she did a lot of good things with it, too. She shared it, and she paid for her brothers and sisters in her parents' home, and she helped her parents and her grandparents. She did a lot of good things. And then she said, I woke up, and the voice said to me, just one more time. So she paid the $20 again, going into another year, and she won the third time. And that time she came to class, and she said, you know, I told God I have enough.
Oh,
but
how beautiful.
That was a long time ago. That was back in, let's see, 84, 85, and 86 is when she did that. And I was just sitting here a little while ago, and I'm turning the pages in an old book, as you said, think of a couple of affirmations that were that happened, and I run into her name, and Marion, I forgot all about you. And my goodness, you know, that was horrendous. But she said in class, she said, you know, it isn't what you think can happen, it's what you declare to happen. Be very careful about what you ask for. And it's true, people have to be very careful about what they set their goal for, because they're going to have to deal with it. Whatever it is, they're going to get it, just like we got all this wood and we've been all week hauling wood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's true. If you make an affirmation, and one lady who had listened to the show and heard me say that Wednesday was an F period, the best day to do something, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that lady went out, interviewed, and got a job, and I just had a call on my machine from her. Came in, I think, on Thursday or Friday, that she did an interview at 3:45 and they hired her.
That's wonderful.
Now, she had not sent for the, you know, the $10 for the information, but she was sending it. But she went out just from being on the show. She took advantage of that opportunity.
From listening in.
Mm-hmm. And listening in, yeah. And she got the job. And she was quite happy, and she was sending her letter.
Oh, that's marvelous. Let me ask you something. Sometimes people say they do an affirmation and it doesn't happen. What do you think about that? Why do you think that happens?
I'll tell you why it don't happen. They don't believe it.
Yeah.
That
little voice inside says, yeah, that's what you think. You know, I know
and
that
another
well,
thing they do,
well.
Mary.
Yes?
They tell other people what they've done. And the other people think they're crazy or they doubt it.
And they
so
say,
if you're sending out
it's
an
never
going to
happen. Don't be ridiculous, huh?
Mm-hmm. So if you're sending out an affirmation, and I do have to tell you, I have a guest house, you know, where people come to do retreats.
Right.
And I had I do 3-day retreats, one-on-one, just for one person only. I do a 3-day retreat, which is awesome. Changes their life forever. And I had a guy come, and he brought a helper because he had to have help. It's made so that it's got two bedrooms. If you have a handicap of some kind, you can bring your person who takes care of you.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yes.
Your
mm-hmm.
aide. When he got
yes.
ready to leave, he walked into my office and he sat down and he said, how much do you owe on your cottage? And I said, I don't know, around $60,000. He said, well, look it up. So I got in the file and I looked at it. It was $67,500. He wrote me a check for $67,501.
Oh, my goodness.
And that little
it was,
guest house.
It was that wonderful for him.
Well, yeah, because he was able to get up and walk.
It can be life-changing, can't it?
It is life-changing.
He arrived in a wheelchair. You didn't say that.
Well, I didn't say that because, you know, he don't have it now.
You need to be clearer with us. Thank you.
Well, you know, I like to see the outcome was so awesome. And I worked on him solid for 3 days. I worked morning, noon, and night on his feet. Morning, noon, and night on his feet for, well, actually, the fourth day before he left, I did it twice. And I showed the caretaker how to do it. And today, he's been flying all over the world. He's been flying everywhere. But he doesn't need a cane. He doesn't need anything. So that was also an affirmation on his part that I didn't know about. His affirmation was when he came here, he was going to walk out that door, and he did.
Ah, so he was determined. He believed in you. He believed in himself. He believed in God. And his belief and your work together created a miracle.
That's right, and he walked away. And, you know, that I had a lady years ago I took to Sedona who was in a wheelchair, and I took her down to a particular rock there. She put her head on the rock. We worked, three of us, getting her into that place with the wheelchair. And she put her head on the rock, and she stood there. And we did, too, because it's a real awesome-sounding sound, and it just goes through your body like electricity, and it's a wonderful, wonderful private little spot. Anyway, we had our head against the rock, and she turned around and walked over and tapped Terry on the shoulder and said, "Terry, look, I can walk." And we were all just overwhelmed. I said, "You better sit down." She said, "I'm fine. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me."
Where was this rock?
Oh, it's in Sedona, but you can't get to it now because the millionaires went in and bought up the land, and now nobody can get back in that area.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they did. They just destroyed Sedona.
Oh, my goodness. How sad.
But this was a long time ago that I took her there.
Uh-huh.
And she lived in New York. She just recently passed away. About 4 months ago, I got a card from her, and she had been to Morocco and been visiting and came home and sent me a card. It was wasn't Christmas. It was after Christmas. And she said, "Now I've done everything I want to do. I'm ready to go." And so I called her up and talked to her, and she said, "You know, I never has a day gone by, Ada, that I haven't thought of you and thanked you and all the wonderful days that you've given me." She said, "You know, it's been, what, almost 32 years that I've been able to walk. And I don't know I don't ever know what happened to her before, but I know she walked back out of there." So it's just funny how God, I think, when people are deserving and they know and they hold the knowing, I think that's when it happens.
Yes.
Because she believed that she was going to go to that rock and walk away from it. She knew she would, and she did.
You know, doubt is the enemy.
Yeah, doubt is the enemy.
I'm getting the message. Doubt is the enemy.
Yeah, it was so amazing because it's true. You have to be positive. I worked with a man a number of years here that could have walked. He could have been perfectly healthy. He'd had a heart attack. His heart could have been fine. He needed to be free of his negativity, and he needed to learn, and he would have been a phenomenal healer. I mean, he sent healings to three people with two other ladies, with myself and somebody else. The healings were phenomenal, but it didn't make any difference to him. He didn't, he wasn't interested. He just wanted to be sick, and he is. He's still sick.
Oh, do you know, once I worked with a woman, she was an elderly woman, and she had broken her foot or her ankle or something, and the person who put the cast on accidentally tucked her toes under, and the inside the cast, and it had been years that she couldn't walk because her toes were bent under her foot, you know,
right.
from that cast. Well,
right.
I worked with her, and sometimes it hurts a little bit to straighten out something that a doctor
right.
has done wrong, you know, and straightened out those toes. And she looked at me, and she said, "That hurt." And that hurt when the doctor did it, too. And right in front of my eyes, those toes curled right up again. And they were straight as if nothing had ever happened. And because she focused back on what had happened and the doctor and they're being crooked again, they went right back. It was,
right, right.
I was just
heartbroken.
That
happen. I saw that happen with a woman who had a, what do you call it, when your arm is twisted? You know, her right arm was her right arm was twisted, and so I said to her, I said, "I don't know what I can do, but I'll do what I can," and I prayed and prayed, and finally they showed me that up under her arm in the armpit there was a nerve there that was raw. I mean, it was twisted somehow. So I went very carefully up there. I found it, and when I found it, I touched it, and her arm straightened right out. I didn't do nothing. I just touched that cord that was sticking out, and her arm straightened right out. And I told her, I said, "You just take your hand up there and put it there, and your arm will straighten out. But you have to do that, and you know, every periodically, like every hour or so, until the nerve gets awake. The nerve's asleep."
Yeah,
and
right.
By golly, but it hurt. So
yeah.
She didn't do it for a long time. She waited a number of years, and then some other doctor, he went up in her arm and looked, and he found it was noticeable. It was a bump. And he told her, he said, "If we operate, we can straighten your arm."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, right. Right. And
so did she call you back?
Work. Well, she didn't call me back because she didn't want the operation either.
Ah, yeah, okay, see.
Yeah.
No, I see.
So
she just let her arm stay crooked,
well,
huh?
Well, it remained crooked. It turned out. Like the lady whose leg turned out. Her leg, she had... Her right leg, it started to turn from the knee outward.
Uh-huh.
And after a year and a half, it had turned outward so far that she was walking on her ankle bone.
Oh, my. Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't know what makes that happen. I don't have any idea.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I mean, it's just something I've seen it, but I don't know. I told her when I saw her, I said, "There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do to help you. You need to go to a doctor, a bone specialist, somebody that can really help you. There's nothing I can do." I knew right away because she was so negative that I couldn't, nothing.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
When you have a negative person like that, you're just beating your forehead against a concrete wall, you know.
That's right. That's right. And I've turned away a number of people because I just... They couldn't be positive. You know, you just can't do it. So, anyway, today we were talking about affirmations, right? Okay, right. Folks, make this affirmation. I am in perfect health, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Do that affirmation every single day. There you go. Now, that is an affirmation, and it does work. I was stabbed 26 times. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And today, I am in perfect health to the point where I was able to work with all that wood and be able to be up and about this afternoon and healthy. I came in the house from working this morning, and I took a bath. I even washed my face. I brushed my teeth, and I made myself a cup of tea, and I sat down to wait for your call, Mary, and I'm up and about.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And you're not exactly 16 anymore, either.
Honey, I'm 19, but I've been 19 three times, you know. Well, a little more than
all
three
right.
times.
That's very good. Well, I hope to see you through the fourth times.
Okay. It's a matter of attitude. It's a matter of attitude. If your attitude is, I know I can, I know I can, I know I can, you can. The little
yes.
train was going up the hill, and I know I can. And his affirmation was, I know I can. How simple of an affirmation is that? And
absolutely.
He got a feel. Yeah. Well,
so,
that's
so all
now
of
I
these
have a
miracles.
New, now I have a new mission. I
what's
have a new
that?
Mission. That, well, the three people, there was 43 people who wrote in to get the word, you know, the periods of the day. Okay. Out of those, there were three people who contacted me who did something good. Now, if we can convince people that if they will do the positive thinking and do the affirmations that they know that they surely will be beneficial to them, then we can make the periods of the day work for them perfectly well. Now, if you, okay, so say that yesterday or the day before in the mail you got a card, a gift in it, unexpectedly, but you had been praying. You had been putting out a prayer, an affirmation for that. And your card came, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, if everybody would get, if everybody could get it, and be careful what you ask for, be careful to do it with a heart. With when you say I am, you're asking God. So
yes,
use
you are.
That God power that you've received. And write your affirmation very carefully so you don't, you know, so you don't get it mixed up and have something go wrong. And it's easy to do that because people will say, oh, well, I want a new car. Well, they want a new car, but they didn't. What is a new car? A new car could be a car that's 2 years older than yours and a wreck.
Yeah.
Because it's new to you.
Could I ask you just once more? You gave us the affirmation for perfect health. Could you do that one more time?
Sure.
So that.
Okay, I am in perfect health mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. How's that?
That's good. You write it down?
Mm-hmm. You write it down.
And
you say it every day.
Do you need to repeat it?
Yeah, you need to repeat it every day, and you repeat it several. One lady said, her husband, this is when I was back in New York working in the 90s. I was on a show in New York, and this lady said, I just want my husband to come home from work. So I said to her, come home after work on Friday night. So, so, because he would stop with his friends, you know, at the bar. And so she, I said, okay, this is what you're going to do. You're going to write this affirmation. My husband is so excited to come home on Friday night to the family and have dinner with us every Friday night. Every Friday night. She wrote it three times, every Friday night. Well, she did it. She did it for about 2.5 weeks. And she never made dinner on Friday night because he never came home. So her and the kids didn't have dinner. She just didn't make dinner on Friday night. So one Friday night, he comes walking in the house. And he comes and he said, what's going on here? There's no dinner. And she said, well, you never come home on Friday night, so I don't make dinner. He said, what? Mm-hmm. You don't make dinner? What about the kids? You know, we just don't make dinner. He said, well, get dressed. We're going out to dinner. So he took them all out to dinner. So every Friday night after that, they went out to dinner.
Oh, okay, how wonderful.
He comes and he says, what? There's no dinner? But see, she did the affirmation, but she didn't put anything on the end of it about dinner. So he put the end of it on. He says, well, come on, we're going out to dinner. So we took her and the kids out to dinner on Friday night.
Amazing.
I get a Christmas card from them every year, too.
Uh-huh.
But that was a long time ago.
I'm just looking to see. We have someone who called in who seems to want to ask a question. Let me check and see.
Okay.
Hello?
Oh, no, I'm just listening. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, take notes.
Okay, will do.
Okay. She just wants to take note. Okay, to she's listening, so that's good.
Oh, that's a good
so,
thing.
So now we know... Is there any special formula for writing the affirmations?
Yes. Be specific. Be specific.
Okay.
And and be ready to accept what you've written down. Don't write an affirmation haphazardly. When you write it, you put it out there. It's going to come. One lady in the class, when I did the Perfect Partner class, they were all writing affirmation. They were all writing a description of their perfect partner, right?
I see.
And we would go over the descriptions, and we would say, now, you know, this, and this. Well, this one lady wrote this wonderful affirmation, and she didn't describe the features of her husband.
Oh,
she didn't describe, like, they'd say, okay, I'd like him to be 6'2", and I'd like him to have blue eyes or brown eyes or whatever. She had not written that description. I said, Carol, you didn't write a description of how he looks. You know, you didn't write that part of it. She says, I don't care how he looks. If he has all these qualities, it doesn't matter how he looks. I said, well, it does matter how he looks. It does matter. Because if he's writing that someplace, he's going to want you to be a nice-looking girl, and you are. But you need to write, and she didn't. Well, about 5 or 6 months later, it wasn't quite a year, she met this man, and he was everything on her list, but he'd been in an automobile accident, and his face was totally disfigured.
Oh, my.
Just terribly disfigured, but he was the nicest man. He really was a wonderful person, and they came to class, and later somebody in class mentioned the next time she came, she didn't bring him, and they said, you didn't write a description of how he looked, and it was true. She didn't. She didn't care. But
it does make a difference. Did they stay together?
Oh, yeah, they did. But you have to be specific. You have to be very specific. You know, it's important. Okay. One time, I saw this car, this red Lincoln Continental in Seattle, in a car lot. And I looked at that car and I said, oh my God, that's a beautiful car. I would like to have a car like that. I love the color of it and I love the way it looks. Well, I moved to California some 15 years later. My husband came home with that very damn car.
The exact same car from Seattle?
That same car, secondhand Lincoln. Oof. And it had more problems. It had so many problems. We had it about 2 years and finally got rid of it. But it was the same car, the same maroon-colored Lincoln. And I thought, I am not going to do that again.
Now, you didn't mention that it should run.
Yeah, I forgot to mention it didn't have mechanical problems. I didn't think about that. So,
oh, that's amazing. But would it have been okay to say I would like to have a car like that is in perfect running order?
Perfect running order and not damaged, has no damage. In other words, no fenders are broken or anything like that. I was just looking at it. I didn't even write it down. I just looked at it and thought, oh, how beautiful it is. That was a mistake, girl.
So your last two stories will say that looks aren't everything.
No, they're not everything. So, but again, an affirmation has to be. You have to think about it, write about it, and make it work. One young lady was really enamored with what did he play? He played a steel guitar, I guess. That's what he played. He played in a band anyway, and he sat down and he played. And she knew she met him dancing in this place in California. And he was very nice, and he liked her, and he invited her. They went out to coffee, I guess is what they did one evening or one day. And he had to walk with a – he had braces on both of his legs. He'd had polio.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
And you couldn't see it sitting down, but when he stood up, you know, he had that cane.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and she was absolutely shocked. I said, well...
Oh, really?
Because he had that problem. But he could play and sing and everything, and he was fine. But she just couldn't believe that, you know, here he'd been in... I guess he had polio or something. Something happened.
Yeah.
Anyway, he had to wear these braces. And she was put off by that. But she was the one who instigated the fact that...
What a shame that she let that come between her with somebody who was otherwise just perfect for her. A shame, you know.
But see, that means that she wasn't going to take care of anybody. So whoever she would marry, whatever would happen to him, she wouldn't take care of him.
So they would have to take care of her, huh?
Yeah, right.
Well,
and that happens a lot of times. That happens a lot of times, you know. That people don't want to be encumbered. So you need to know. You need to think before you write stuff, and you can. You know, you've been married. I've been married. We've all had kids. We've all done this route, but you can choose to make it a happy thing, a positive thing. No matter what we're going through, we can stand together in a positive manner. And, you know, it just...
Absolutely.
Yeah. It makes it happen comfortably. So that I think is an affirmation for a happy partnership in a marriage. You might write down and say, I want to write a description of the person, then write... Somebody who is amicable, who is loving, who likes a hug every day, who likes to tell jokes, who wants to laugh, who wants to be, you know, you can write that down. That's perfectly fine.
Sure.
Yeah.
What happens if someone asks for something that is really not good for them?
They get it.
Okay.
Trust me, they get it.
I see.
They,
okay.
Unfortunately, they dwell their mind. They're dwelling on it, and they get it. What is it? My grandma used to say they bought the farm. they bought the whole trouble with them. Yeah.
I see.
That happens a lot of times. People say, "Well, I feel sorry for that person."
Uh-huh.
And they feel sorry for them. Boy, that's the worst thing you can ever do.
Yeah.
You're going to get the problem that you feel sorry for.
Uh-huh.
And that's a good point. That's a good point, Mary. Don't feel sorry for anyone. Look closely at yourself and at that situation to see if you can't understand why there's a problem there.
Uh-huh.
You know, because there's a problem hidden there, or there wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think metaphysically, and of course, you know that I deal a lot with reincarnation, with
right.
other incarnations, and many times people feel that they have to pay back for something that they did in another lifetime, and they're being punished. And I think that's just a sad way to live, you know.
They can't. That's not what happens. When you have passed over, and I've been there 3 times, I can tell you. Well, when you have passed over, you will answer for everything. As you do your review, you will see everything you did and all the people you could have been kind or unkind to, and all of the things that you should have learned a lesson of. Now, everything you're going to experience in this life are lessons you need to learn, so that as you go on into the next life, you will not have to, unless you didn't get the lesson, you won't have to redo it again. You will not have to make that thing happen again. So you're not going to pay for something that you happened in your last life, but you may have to experience that yourself so that you know what it actually entailed and what it felt like. But it's not because you're having to pay back something. It's because it's a lesson for you to learn every lesson, every day.
You went through the course but didn't get the message. Didn't learn the lesson.
You didn't learn the lesson. Okay. It just so happens that a lot of times people become they become victim of their own inability to stand up and be counted. You know, many times they are a victim of their own nonsense because they will not stand up and be counted. And that is one of the biggest lessons that there is in life to learn. When the shoe fits, wear it.
Okay. So, but now back to the affirmations. Are there other things that we need to know about doing affirmations?
Well, I think the most important thing are just the 3 steps. You be very careful how you word it. That's step number 1. You repeat it for 7 days. That's step number 2. And then you put the paper away and wait for it to happen. And don't doubt that it will happen. Just know, because you did your homework and the paper's in the drawer, it's going to happen.
And then you give thanks.
Pardon?
Then you give thanks. I've heard you do this more than once.
I do. I give thanks every day. In December, when we were looking for wood, because we didn't have wood, and, oh my goodness, girl, it was really, really not a good thing. I mean, we were really struggling to get enough wood to keep that fireplace going. Anyway, And I was doing that affirmation every day and thanking God for the wood that we didn't have yet. But I thanked him because I knew we had it. And I only put out, I could have put out, I'm glad I didn't put out 10 cords because, my God, I wouldn't have had the strength to do it all. But I stayed with it for 7 days and then I dropped it. And then here in March, on March, the Ides of March, the 20th of March or something, it's been a week. We worked one solid week from one Sunday to the following Sunday, which was this Sunday, Easter Sunday. We brought in those loads of wood and cut them up and stacked them. And Mark would saw them and I would go stack them one piece at a time. So, yeah, but it's... they can do it. One lady who needed a job desperately, she had interviewed and interviewed and interviewed, and I said, the only mistake you're making is you need to interview on certain intervals. So I told her, I said, try a Monday morning interview at 10 o'clock. Try a Wednesday interview at 2:30. Try those things. But in the meantime, write out the kind of job you want, what you want to get paid, and how far you want to drive to work. Maybe you want to walk. Write it out. Read it over. Make sure it's right. Then send it out and put it under your pillow. And I will guarantee you within 30 days you will have that job. She had that job in 14 days, and it was like 10 blocks from her house. 10 blocks from her house. Now, she finally got it together. So that was a good thing.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that was a wonderful thing. Yeah.
Well, because she finally decided if she'd listen, maybe she could do it. I said, you've called me 10 times now. Do this and don't call me again.
There you go.
Well, I told her, I said, I've told you four different ways to do, and you haven't done none of them. We're going to start with the first one, and then do that, and then you don't call me again. Because it don't do any good if people aren't going to do what you offer them. What's the point?
This is true.
Yeah.
Absolutely true. Yeah. It's amazing. How many times does this happen that we... do our prayers, we do the best, we ask God to give us the answer, we tell them what the information we got, and then they just go and do whatever they want to do. It's
right, and it's ridiculous. I have clients that I've had in the music and in the film business and CEOs and stuff been with me since 1981. These people have been with me all these years, Mary, and they learned right on. I'm only going to tell you the third time, I'm not talking the fourth time. And they call me up and say, I'm on a flight going here. Is the flight safe? And I'll say yes or no. A lady called me from New York, and her husband was leaving on the 17th of February.
Mm-hmm.
He said he's booked on the flight for the 17th of February. I said, no, he's not. That flight's going down. That was the first Malaysian flight that went down. And
he
rebooked, and he's still alive.
There you go.
One guy in New York says, I won't fly unless you tell me I can.
Okay. Your great grandmother and your grandmother taught you well.
Yes,
but
I don't answer frivolously. I mean, I wait for the answer. Mm-hmm. I wait till it comes to me. It comes through me and to me. And sometimes it jumps right out of my mouth. So I have to say, now before you finish the question, I want to tell you, are you sure you want this answer? Because you might not like it, because I can feel it coming and it's going to not be what they want to hear.
Yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that, you know, is not good, but at least it's a truth.
Yes.
So.
So if you get when you help someone, do you ever help them to make the proper affirmations so that things will turn out better for them?
Well, I do. I help. I reword it. I mean, I help them reword it.
Aha.
Because most of the time, when we're everybody's given to dumb thinking. So they'll put something together, and it has a beginning, but it has no substance, and then the end is all combobbled. So yes, I do. I do help people. That's what I do, and then let them. One lady who was going in for surgery. And she had to have the surgery, and it was very, very touchy surgery. And I told her, I said, you need to put, I'll put purple around you for the surgery, but you need to say to God, I am having this surgery, and I am coming out of the surgery with perfect, perfect health. And I want you to write it three times, perfect, perfect, perfect health. Well, she was really frightened, and it was pretty touchy. So I got the date for the surgery, and, of course, the early morning before I started, she was to go to surgery at 10 o'clock. She went at 1 in the afternoon, which was fine with me. I was still sending her purple. And they operated, and that night the doctor came in and said to her, I have never done a more perfect surgery in my life with no problem. It was unbelievable. I know that I had prayed before surgery, ma'am, but he said it was the most unbelievable task that I have done in all my years of being a doctor.
Isn't that incredible?
Fine.
Yeah.
But he went to her and told her. You know, and I know a lot of doctors do pray before surgery. I know they do.
Oh, sure.
Because I work with a lot of doctors.
Right. Well, and I had a friend who called me, and he said, I'm scheduled for brain surgery tomorrow. And I said, okay, let me tell you what. He said, I don't know. This brain surgery is pretty awful, you know. And I said, let me tell you what to do. And I said, what I want you to do is know and believe that this is going to be perfect. And when you get on that operating table, look at the doctor and the nurses and everyone, and you say to them, I know that this is going to be the most perfect surgery that any of you have ever experienced in your lives.
Wonderful.
And he did. And because he did that, he felt just total peace. He just, when he went into the anesthesia, he was felt total peace. And he called me the next day, and he said, 3 hours after the surgery, the anesthesiologist came in and said, I want you to know that this was a picture-perfect text. We could go into a textbook and teach this surgery. We have never seen anything so perfect in our lives.
Wonderful. That's awesome, Mary. To me, that's a blessing from God. That's a miracle.
And he said, people who came in to see me, they said, well, when are you going in for surgery? He said, I'm out. And they said, what? You don't look as if anything happened to you at all.
Yeah, right. See, and that's a miracle. And there are so many people that are healers and people who are helping that, just using the right words does the healing. I mean, when you told him what to say, he said it, and it worked because God honored it. That's the thing. Don't have a negative thought. If one comes, say, get away from me. I'm not accepting that.
That's right. I have a secret that is special to me, and I teach it to some of my people that I work with. When the tiniest little thought of negativity starts to sneak by, I will say, I give thanks for the miracle that's happening right now. I give thanks for the miracle that's happening right now. And I say it about 3 times, and the negative thought goes away completely.
Absolutely. It cannot stay. I'm all the time I'm saying that. And somebody came and they said, what is it? What is there about you? You're always okay. I said, I'm okay because I am okay. I said, I don't accept anything that isn't positive. And they said, well, you know, I come here at 4 a.m. and you're up here walking around humming and how can you do that? I said, very simply, I can't sing. I can't carry a tune, so I can't sing. All I can do is hum. But she said, it's so strange. I never met anybody. I said, well, everybody does things different. I just have to get up early because I have to have an hour with God every morning. And him and I have a silent time. And during that silent time, I receive a lot of things that I don't know what I know. And if you ask me, I'll tell you. I know. I just don't know what I know. And this morning was one of those mornings. I got up and Mark came out with his coffee. And I said, oh, Mark, is there something fabulous is happening? I said, he said, what? I said, I don't know. I just know it. I can feel it. And then we went out and finished up the wood, and then I did feel good, you know. So, and I know it was Easter Sunday, and I know that God needs to be honored, and I honor him every day of the week, just like you do, Mary. We spend our hour with him every day. It doesn't have to be on Easter. It has to be every day.
That's right.
So every blessing is there.
I graduated from an interfaith seminary, and it was put together by a defrocked Catholic priest, a rabbi. He called himself a New Age rabbi, and a rebel Methodist minister, and Swami Satchidananda. And Rabbi Gelberman used to always say, when you pick up the phone, he would say, "I give thank you for the beautiful. This is the beautiful day that God has given us." And it was so nice to hear him say that.
It's
giving
a good
thanks.
Feeling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah.
Do you have anything more to say about affirmations?
Well, I think I've said everything that I can say that I know works. I mean, there isn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the thing. The caution is to be careful what you ask for. To be careful. Be sure you've looked way beyond it to see what the outcome would be down the road. I mean, that's, you know, look what could, There could be a different outcome down the road. But be careful how you word them. Don't do it haphazardly. You know, don't just do them haphazardly.
Write it down and repeat it 3 times. Do you ever read it aloud? In your seven days that you focus on it?
I do. I read it aloud, and I read it to myself. I mean, I read it more than 3 times. I usually read it about 10 because I read it to myself, and then I read it out loud because I'm dyslexic, and sometimes I have to be real careful, Mary, not to turn the sentences around.
Okay.
So I have to be careful with that.
A week?
I do that for a week, and then I forget. And then once what you're doing when you finish, you have actually turned it over for God to take it out of your hands. Mm. When you let go of it, you have turned it over, just like, okay, you're going to write the thesis for this book, so that's your job. Well, when I tell him I want wood, I say, now that's your job, Father. You find the wood. And he did. See? And,
yeah.
And that's how I do. When my kids were in school and I had to get something for them, I'd say, okay, today we must produce dot, 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 dot. And we have to have it by Friday. Let's get to it. And then I would just wait and see what it would bring. I mean, it's amazing. You know, it's amazing.
I used to call it the Sears Roebuck of my mind.
I know
when
you
I was a kid
I thought
in the
that
country.
Was very interesting.
We got,
that,
we got.
You know, we all had catalogs. I guess back in those days, the Sears and the Sears Roebuck catalog were just really the catalog.
Montgomery Ward.
That was it.
Uh-huh.
Everything came out of there.
Yeah, my dad. My dad called it the wish book.
Yeah, Mama did too, but she didn't wish much. They made most of their clothes then.
Right.
Yeah.
But you could get ideas from it too. That was nice.
Yeah, that was. They had wonderful ideas. Oh my gosh, we got paper dolls out of it and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Uh huh.
Goodness sakes, yes, we sure did. So that was what's happening. Are we running out of time?
We're pretty close. We have just about 3.5 minutes.
Did you give our address
and
phone number?
Oh, that's a wonderful idea. Yes, you go ahead.
My email address is adamarie@thegoldenoracle.com. ORACLE.com. And my phone number is 520-896-9510. And please tell me what state you're in so I don't call you up in the middle of the night. If you're in Texas, it's 1 hour. And if it's in California, it's a different one. And if it's in New York, it's a different. Wherever you are, leave your name and phone number and what state you're in and the best time to call you. 520-896-9510. And the email is on my website, The Golden Oracle. That is my website, thegoldenoracle.com. So, .com, yes. Yeah, that's a good idea, add the .com.
Yeah, that's great. And to close, do you have a message for any of the listeners? Something.
Well, the message is to be honest with yourself. Don't mistreat yourself. Be honest with yourself. That's the best message I can give, because a lot of people come and they say, but what if, what if? I don't go what if. Be absolutely straightforward. Be honest. Don't look for the negativity. What if is a negativity, folks.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Mary, it is. What if, what if? I said, stop it.
Right.
What do we do now? What you do now is common sense that's good for you.
Good. Uh-huh. So what we, once again, negativity is and doubt are the enemies, right?
That's right. In any case, doubt and negativity are absolutely not acceptable in your thinking process.
Mm-hmm.
Not acceptable. And if you see something that is really negative, get out of the way. Don't walk, run. Just get away from it. Stay out of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you don't mean something like somebody who's fallen down and hurt themselves. You mean
someone... No, I mean somebody that's doing something harmful.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You know,
to themselves and others. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean don't help someone that's in trouble. You can get them up. Jesus took the man to the inn. He bought him dinner and gave him a night's lodging, and he walked off and let him be.
Yeah.
You know, that's common sense. He didn't
Absolutely.
Put him on his back and carry him with him.
Right.
He just he gave him the opportunity of a meal and a bed to sleep in.
You know, in other words, do the best you can, and then let it go, and let your conscience be clear.
And release it. Just release it. That's right. I worked real hard to show a man that divine pure love and light comes directly from God, that it has nothing to do with human thinking, and he never could get it. He never could understand it. He was all caught up in money and sex and beauty, and he never ever got it. So, you know, you just walk away from those people. Stay away.
Because you're basically wasting your time, and you could spend it with people that take the message and take the love and take the energy
right.
and do something for the world with it.
Right.
Good.
And,
okay.
You know, if you're busy doing something, you're not going to be depressed, I'll tell you that.
That's right. So
depression comes from laziness.
We're all out of time, so I just want to say let's just send out love and light to everyone that will be listening to this now and later.
Yes, divine pure love and light to the whole world, and everybody is at peace with themselves. What a world that will be. And it will come, Mary, it will come.
All righty, and we're working. Okay.
We are.
So,
okay.
Thanks, everybody, for checking in and listening to us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for being here, and we'll see you next week. Okay? Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.